Good morning. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 60 through 63. Is this working? Thank you. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. Then you will remember your ways and be ashamed when you receive your sisters, both your older and your younger, and I will give them to you as daughters, but not because of your covenant. Thus will establish my covenant with you, and you shall know that I am the Lord, so that you may remember and be ashamed and never open your mouth any more because of your humiliation, when I have forgiven you for all that you have done, the Lord God declares. Thank you.
There's a lot of uncertain things happening this morning, but we're going to make it through. Battery just died on me. We're going to make it. You know, there's a lot of uncertain things that happen in life. However, there is one thing that is definitely certain, and that is Jesus Christ has died for us, and the blood covers our sins, and we have his resurrection so that we can have an eternal home with Jesus and God in the presence forever and eternity. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 16. So if you want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 16, it would be greatly appreciated. Ezekiel chapter 16. I was waiting for like somebody to turn the water we had to the fruit of the vine at some point, but I thought the elders could do that, but... Ezekiel 16, before we get there, if you know God is good, say amen.
Amen.
And if you know God is good to you, say amen.
Amen.
And if you know and you've been giving thanks for those blessings that come upon you, and you've given thanks, say amen.
Amen.
God is so good. He is so good. There was a baby that was unwanted and mistreated to the point that the umbilical cord was not cut from this baby at its birth. Nor was this baby cleansed for antiseptic reasons or cleansed at all, you know. But instead, this baby was cast out into an open field, squirming in its own blood, left there to die. That's a terrible scene, just left there to die. And this baby that I'm describing is the nation of Israel. And this is the way the surrounding nations viewed Israel. Jerusalem or Israel is in the center of the land, the inland. And you had all these surrounding nations viewing them as worthless. They deemed them as worthless. And at this point in time, Jehoiachin, he's the king at this time. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. If you want to go to 2 Kings chapter 24, we'll just roll to that verse real quick so we can... I want you to see it as I see it. 2 Kings 24, verse 8. It reads this. It says, Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he became king and reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And his mother named Neshta and his daughter Elnathan of Jerusalem. He did evil, verse 9, he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, went up to Jerusalem, and the city came under siege. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to the city while his servants were besieging it. Jehoiachin, the king of King Judah, went out to the king of Babylon and his mother and his servants and his captains, the officials. So the king of Babylon took him captive in the 8th year of his reign. So he was taken captive. And Jehoiachin basically said in verse 9, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father did. So we can see the type of king they had. The nation is under the influence of an evil king. So when your nation is under the influence of an evil king, guess what your nation's going to be? Away from God. They're not going to be with God. And that's the way Jerusalem was viewed, and running away from God. They had these hardships, they had these issues, and so for the surrounding nations viewed them as worthless and cast them out. We don't need Israel. We don't need them. Cast them out into an open field, God says, through his servant. But I want us to look at today. Look at today. Look at our world around us. How are Christians viewed in the world view? We're viewed as these self-righteous, judgmental people. that think they're better than other people, which is not the case. Also, if you look at the nation, our culture, we're making God's word and principles optional rather than a means of spiritual wealth and advancement in the eternal realm. Also, when we look at our religious leaders, our so-called religious leaders, the people who we've looked up to and trusted, we see them not holding fast the promises which God has made to us and his people. We need to be stronger. Our leaders need to make us strong, help us grow, and influence us in ways that we may not be able to influence ourselves. But we see we are a reflection of our leadership, and Israel is definitely the same way. Their leadership was evil, so therefore the people are going to stray away from God. So therefore, again, the surrounding nations deemed Israel as useful and cast them out into an open field, squirming in their own blood, left there to die. Look at Ezekiel chapter 16. It says, verse 1, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying to the Son of Man, make known to Jerusalem her abominations." So they're not doing anything good right now. And God wants us to remember something. He wants us to remember something. But what does he want us to remember? He wants us to remember where we have come from. God wants every one of us to remember where we have come from so that we will appreciate where we are. We're to remember where we have come from so we can appreciate where we are. Amen? Amen. And saying, verse 3, he says, "And saying thus, says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your origin and your birth are from the land of Canaan, and your father was an Amorite, and your mother was a Hittite. And as for your birth, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water for cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt, and you weren't even clothed, wrapped in clothes. Verse 5, no eye looked with pity on you to do any of these things to you, to have compassion on you. Rather, you were thrown out into an open field, for you were abhorred on the day you were born. When I passed by you and saw you squirming in your blood, I said to you while you were in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you while you were in your blood, live. So God says, listen, when you are down and out and the nations surrounding you deemed you as worthless, they cast you out from the wealth, the commonwealth of everything, so that you're cast out. I saw you in a puddle by yourself, useless and worthless, ready to die, but I came to you and said, live. At the right time, Christ Jesus died for us once and for all. He said, live. Then verse 7, he says, I made you numerous like the plants of the field. Then you grew up and became tall and reached the age of fine ornaments. Your breasts were formed and your hair had grown. Yet you were still naked and bare. Then I passed by you and saw you, and behold, you were at the time of love. You were at the time of lust, so I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. I swore to you and entered into a covenant with you so that you became mine, declares the Lord. This spreading of the skirt, this is a symbolic action in which God is choosing Israel as his bride. They were nothing. We were nothing. We were laying out there bare, naked, and then God, verse 7, says, I want to take care of them. I'm nurturing this relationship. And it's that time I'm developing it, and now you're ready for this covenant relationship. He said, I'm going to spread my skirt over your nakedness, and I'm choosing you to be mine. We have to remember where we have come from so we can appreciate God's love. We have to remember where we have come from so we can appreciate God's love. But not only do we have to remember where we've come from so we can appreciate God's love, we have to remember where we've come from so we can appreciate God's gifts. Look at verse 9. He says, "Then I bathed you with water, washed off your blood from you, and anointed you with oil. I also clothed you with embroidered cloth and sandals of porpoise skin your feet, on your feet. I wrapped you in fine linen. I covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your hands and necklaces around your neck. I also put a ring in your nostril, earrings in your ear, and a beautiful crown upon your head." Man, God is good, isn't he? And we know how hard it is to help others out sometimes, to use our own resources and help others out and put ourselves in debt. But look at what God is doing for Israel, his people. Everybody viewed them as worthless, the surrounding nations. Viewed them as worthless. But then we see God jumping in, saying, live. And then God going in debt, sacrificing, giving them everything they need, not only just to be good,
but to thrive and shine and survive and be great among the other nations.
Look at all the gifts. He's given them. He gave them water to wash off. He anointed them with oil. He washed the blood off of them. He clothed them in embroidered cloth. Like that embroidered cloth, you can see you think you're real cool. You got your like name embroidered on your like shirt, your pants. I know nobody does that now. That's like a thing of the past. Bedazzling, you know. But same as a porpoise skin, he wrapped him in fine linen, covered with silk, adorned with ornaments, bracelets, necklaces, everything. And he advanced them to wealth. And God has done that for us as well. Now those people, let's time to get real. Like, God gives us gifts. Amen?
Amen.
That's a gift. But not everywhere, not all places have electricity. Whenever I get a little uncomfortable, I can bump the temperature up in the room or turn it down. Those are blessings. Everybody in here has a home to go to. We have food to drink. We have a place to sleep. We have it pretty good, amen?
Amen.
We have it pretty good. And sometimes we have it so good, we forget where we came from, didn't we? We forgot that we once were poor. We forgot that we were dead in our own sins and our own tracks. We forgot that he came by and said, live. We forget all those things at times. And then we trust in ourselves. We forget the gifts that God has given us. Or we take them and use them as objects of high place. We put them in the high places. And we trust in ourselves and trust in the ornaments and the gifts that we have. And we forget what he's done for us. We begin to change our minds. Our minds begin to change. We start judging people we should never judge. We start judging the poor because we forgot that we once were there. We start judging the unrighteous because we forget that we once were there. We judge the homosexual because we forget we were once dead in our sins too. We get on our high horse and we forget things. We forget where we have come from. And God is saying, you need to remember where you have come from so you can appreciate God's love, so you can appreciate God's gifts. Verse 15 is coming. Verse 13 says, thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your dress was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate fine flour, honey, and oil. So you were exceedingly beautiful and advanced to royalty. Then your fame went forth among the nations on account of your beauty, for it was perfect because of my splendor, which I bestowed on you, declares the Lord. Then we see verse 15, but you trusted in your beauty and played the harlot because of your fame, and you poured out your harlotries on every passerby who might be willing. So Israel looked beautiful. Israel looked in the mirror. Oh, man. We look good as a nation. Okay. God, we got it from here. We got it from here. We don't need you anymore right now. We got it from here on. Sometimes let's keep it real. We're advanced. We have some nice things. We have splendor. We have beauty. And we forget that we borrowed these things. They all came from God. I promise you it came from God. The air that's circulating, the oxygen is circulating through your body. We're even borrowing the oxygen circulating through our body. That comes from God. Everything comes from God. So who are you and I to think we are anything without God? We play the harlot. We have these voids within ourselves. Issues and circumstances come up in life. And we forget everything that God has brought us through and to. And he's with us. But we become so desperate for acceptance in different areas that we play the harlot with anything that'll show us any type of attention or that gives us some self-gratification, even on such a temporal level. But we have to remember where we have come from so we can appreciate God's love. We have to remember
where we've come from so we can appreciate God's gifts.
Look at verse 16. He said, "You took some of your clothes and made for yourself high places of various colors and played the harlot on them, which should never come about nor even happen. You also took your beauty, your beautiful jewels, made of gold and of my silver, which I had given to you, and made for yourself male images, that you might play the harlot with them. Then you took your embroidered cloth and covered them, and offered my oil and my incense before them." Look at that. Verse 18 says, "You took your embroidered cloth and you covered them." Look at, remember verse 8? "Then I passed by you and I saw," he said, "I spread my skirt on you, I spread my skirt over your nakedness, and I chose you. So now I take the things that God gave me and I choose and I cover and I choose to marry or be unfaithful to my God. I break that covenant so that I can cover these other images and choose to be in a covenant and a relationship with them. Why would you become friends or allies with the enemies of the people who just kicked you out and left you squirming in your own blood? Why? We know what God has done for us. He chose us. And then we break the covenant to choose something else? And then we use some of the product that he's given us? Why would you ally with Satan? Why would we ever ally with unrighteousness? Unrighteousness has caused us to be convicted of sin. But we want to run back to... It baffles me, but we do it. I'm speaking to myself, we do it. But for what? Because we forget where we've come from. Verse 19, "Or if I should send a plague against the country and pour out my wrath and blood on it, cut off man and beast from it," he says, even though... Where am I? That is not the verse I'm supposed to be reading. Ezekiel 16, verse 19, "Also my bread which I gave you, fine flour and honey, with which I fed you, you would offer before them for a soothing aroma. So it happened, declares the Lord. Moreover, you took your sons and daughters whom you had bore to me and sacrificed them to idols to be devoured. Your harlotries were so small of a matter." It wasn't enough that you already broke my covenant and you went with and you committed these harlotries with these other nations. That wasn't bad enough, but now you're sacrificing your children to pass through the fire? What? "Moreover, you took my sons and daughters whom you had bore to me, sacrificed them." Was that not so small of a matter? Verse 21, "You slaughtered my children and offered them up to the idols by causing them to pass through the fire." Wow. Wow. That's the God of Molech. It's a Moab God. One of the surrounding nations that they tacked on to and allied with. If you want to have wealth, you serve this God and offer up your first child. When it's no God at all. What it really is you're giving up your child. Obviously, you don't have to use those resources anymore, so of course you're going to have more. But they believed in a God, this false God. And I say all that to say this, it shows how far away and how far we get down this rabbit trail of sin, this abyss of sin and lewdness and filthiness, when we don't remember God and who He is and what He's done for us. So now we're worshiping other gods, sacrificing your children to pass through the fire. And they said this thing called the Valley of Drum. This is a side note. Valley of Drum. They would sacrifice children, have these big fires, and they would put the big altars over it, these metal altars. And they would throw the babies on them, and they would burn. The babies would be burned up, and you would hear the screams and the cries from the little children. And they called it the Valley of Drum because what they did was they played loud drums to drown out the screaming of the babies. That's terrible. That's terrible. Now I said all that. None of us in here would ever do that, right? Amen. We would never sacrifice our children in that way to pass through the fire. However, we may be sacrificing our children to self, sacrificing our children to by neglecting them, not spending the time with them. Sometimes we come home from work, I'm tired, getting kind of lazy. You know what, kids? Do what you want to do. I'm tired. That's sacrificing our children, giving them, if we're not teaching our children or nurturing them, I know there's something that is. I promise you,
something is nurturing
and teaching your children something. Sacrificing by ignoring them, lack of discipline, not spending time with them. Sometimes we even place violence, verbal, physical, mental, emotional violence before them, pushing them away, sacrificing them to that idol of self.
It's happening. It's happening.
Not out there to those people. It's happening. Amen?
Amen.
It's happening right here, right now. Maybe among some of us in this room. Are we spending the time with our children? This in context, this is the future of Israel, and you're sacrificing your children. Why are they sacrificing their children? Verse 22. Besides all your abominations and harlotries, you did not remember the days of your youth when you were naked and bare and squirming in your blood. We have to remember where we have come from so we can appreciate God's gifts. And children are a gift of the Lord.
Amen.
And then he goes on to jump to verse 33. So we're playing the harlot. Verse 26, he says, you also played the harlot with the Egyptians, your lustful neighbors, and multiplied your harlotries to make me angry. Behold, now I have stretched out my hand against you and diminished your rations, and I have delivered you up to the desire of those who hate you, the daughters of the Philistines, and they ashamed because of your lewd conduct. Then drop to verse 33, he says, men give gifts to harlots, but you give your gifts to all your lovers and to bribe them to come to you from every direction. So you're creating all these different allies, these relationships with these foreign nations, and they're taking you off into idolatry. So they're not just paying you, but you're paying them. So you're a different type of harlot, he's saying. Men give gifts to all to harlots, but you give gifts to all your lovers and bribe them to come from every direction for your harlotries. Verse 34, thus you are different from those women in your harlotries, in that no one plays the harlot as you do, because you give money and no money is given to you. Thus makes you different. I mean, I'm not just making this up. I know this is a really graphic image, but
this is what it is. When we are not trusting in God and we're going a different direction, trusting and creating that unfaithfulness with our God, that's exactly what it is.
And God is calling us to remember where we have come from so we can appreciate where we are. But not only do we have to remember God's gifts, we have to remember where we have come from so we can appreciate God's forgiveness. Amen. We have to remember where we have come from so we can appreciate God's forgiveness. Look at verse 60. Nevertheless, actually verse 59. Verse 58. I'm really going to go back to 56, but I'm not going to go back there. Verse 58. You have borne the penalty of your lewdness and abominations, the Lord declares. For thus says the Lord God, I will also do with you as you have done. You who have despised the oath by breaking the covenant, nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. Then you will remember your ways and be ashamed when you receive your sisters, both your older and your younger. I will give them to you as daughters, but not because of your covenant, because we broke our covenant with God, but God had to remember his everlasting covenant. Thus I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 63, so that you may remember and be ashamed and never open your mouth anymore because of your humiliation, when I have forgiven you for all that you have done, declares the Lord. Whew. That is highly emotional, because we know where we've been. We know where we have been. We haven't been in pretty places.
And we were squirming around in our own blood, left there to die. However, God passed by us. It said, live. Live. He nurtured our relationship in Christ Jesus. He's nurtured us. He's developed us. He chose us before the foundation of the world.
Go to Ephesians chapter 1. One of my favorite, favorite scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1. And I want you to have this thought as we read it, that we were dead in our trespasses. We were squirming in our own blood. But Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. How beautiful is that? He chose us. How beautiful. But he didn't just give us all the things in the heavenly places. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him, predestined us to adoptions as sons and daughters of Christ Jesus himself, according to his kind intention. He said, Quentin, insert your name. He said, hey, listen, church, you guys were squirming in your own blood. I've nurtured you. I've brought you to this point. I've elevated you among the nations. I've made you beautiful. I've given you wealth. I've given you fame. Christianity is strong as it will ever be. And you get to proclaim the excellencies of Christ Jesus. And to him, you get to proclaim that marvelous light of Christ Jesus so that others will come. He says it's not your job to judge those because you once were there. But what you do is you uplift Christ Jesus so that others will be able to see and so that they can be a part of this wealth and fame that will serve for eternity in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has been so, so good to us. Also go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we had done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2 of Titus verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny all ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all and every every lawless deed, and to be purified for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. So he picked us up out of our squirming from our own blood, and he gave us purpose. You have a purpose now. The other nations will only give you grief, discouragement, physical, mental, and emotional pains. But he's saying here, I'm giving you purpose on the basis of good deeds, and I want you to be renewed of the mind. God wants us to remember where we have come from so we can appreciate where we are. He also wants us to remember where we have come from so we can appreciate his gifts. He also wants us to remember where we have come from so we can appreciate his forgiveness. God has been so good to us. Why would we not want to be great to him? He's given us all the abilities, all the resources to be great among the nations. Let's not recognize our beauty and what we have, but be thankful and appreciate and bestow that upon others so that they can be uplifted and elevated and they can glorify the name of our glorious God who resides in heaven for eternity so we can be with him. These are things we say and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you haven't been following, if you've forgotten where you've come from, it's never too late until you stop breathing and it's too late. But
I want us to know that God is calling each and every one of us right now in this moment. If we need to ask for forgiveness, we need to ask for that forgiveness. And we need to have that godly sorrow and really mean it. And if you don't want to come forward this morning, then go home into your room, the recesses of your heart, and you get right with Jesus now and forever. If you have any need this morning, the song of encouragement is going to be sung right now.